Ask the Podcast Coach for May 3rd, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Now it is Saturday, and it's time to get your podcast questions answered on Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson. And we can be found live every Saturday right here at schoolofpodcasting.com/live, as well as if you go over to askthepodcastcoach.com, there's a link for that. And joining me every week is the one, the only, the lovely, the talented, from theaverageguy.tv, Mr. Jim Cullison. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not sure on a Saturday morning you should say lovely.
But, yeah, we will take any question that you have. We would love to answer any questions. He said, scrambling over to get the phone number. And the call-in number
starts with an 8, I think.
Yeah, you know, I see the host number. I see the host call-in, the guest call-in.
Which one are we on this week?
Here we go. We are on call-in studio again. Still playing with that. And I believe the number is 845-262-2401. I see there at the top of my screen, finally. I had that. And, you know.
845-262-2462?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to copy and paste it. 2401.
2401.
There we go.
All right. There you go.
If you're new to the show, the beginning is always the best part because we're, it's hilarious because I spend a good, look at everybody. Now, there we go. Got the number in there. And Steve Stewart is in the chat room. Steve, while I have you, do I have permission to play a clip from your last show in the School of Podcasting? Because Steve did a thing that I always hear a lot of podcasters say, which is, I want to say his name was Pete. Pete found Steve's show, which is over at Money Plan SOS, and said, wow, I found your show, Steve. And he went down and downloaded a bunch and listened. I think he went on a trip or something like that. And it's one of those times where people, you know, with Netflix, you batch watch or whatever it's called. I think there's
binge watch.
Yes, you binge watch. And he binge listened to Steve. And I've always said when your audience finds you, they get really, really giddy. And they're like, oh, my gosh, this guy is talking to me. And so anytime I hear somebody say that, I'm like, there, see ya. If you don't want to believe me, believe Steve. And that was, I heard that. So I was going to email Steve and say, hey, can I play it? It's at the 15-minute mark. I know that for sure. Yes, 18 shows from Orlando to Baltimore. The guy was checking out Steve's show. So, but yeah, so a lot of chat going on today with, there's a big old hangout with SoundCloud that happened this week. A lot of chat about that. And the other thing I would, if you have a story, one of the things I'm looking for right now is if you have ever podfaded a show, I'm actually doing a show on podfading on the School of Podcasting. So if you want to call in and say why you did, I actually did some research last night. We've been talking to a lot of people about why I actually interviewed Ryan Parker earlier in the week about podfading. And, and if you're new to like, what the heck is podfading? It just means when you had a show and you lost that love and feeling and it's gone, oh, gone, whoa, 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 and you quit. So that's some of the things we're looking at.
Or sometimes you don't. I mean, I was talking with Ryan last week about that. He'd mentioned you were interviewing him, so he and I just had a little chat. And I've actually had a show that I've allegedly podfaded twice. Mm-hmm. So I started it. We got 30 episodes. I stopped, came back a year later, started again. We went for another, I don't know, 18, 19 episodes. We've stopped again. And I have not officially pod faded. I haven't cut it off and met with the host again and said, hey, do we want to keep doing this? Or we both got really busy and it was hard to get together. And we were trying to do it at work, which would be the best time to do it. But we're both so busy at work these days. So anyways, who knows, right? I haven't officially cut it off. I don't think you have to. You know, I don't think you have to go out there and get that, but so it'll be interesting to hear what you guys come up with when you talk about that on School Podcasting.
Yeah, I actually went and, Rob Walsh, the VP of, Podcaster Relations, has a book that he put out with, not Grammar Girl, cause that's Mignon Fogarty. It's called Tricks of the Podcasting Masters. I forget what year it came out in. And I actually have that book somewhere, the physical copy. and could not find it. So I went out and bought it on the Kindle because I remember that it was one of the few books I read that had a whole section on pod fading. And they talked to people who had, and I was looking at that and was checking it out. So, yeah, it's an interesting topic. I think everything eventually people it's like I said, you lose that love and feeling. And
You just can't do the same thing. I think unless you're The Simpsons, you can't really do the same thing forever. Like things change, your life changes, situations change.
That's the big key.
Right. I mean, you're just doing something different. And I think it's okay to let it go. You know, if it's not working, if you're not loving it, if you're not making money at it and you want to make money at it, just quit doing it. I mean, you don't have to, you have no obligation unless you sold subscriptions.
Right.
And you're still charging, right? One of those kinds of things. Then you are obligated. I mean, I think, Dave, we don't talk about that enough. There have been some folks, and not many, who've monetized their podcast through subscriptions basis. And if you sold a subscription, man, you better deliver on that.
That is a tricky little thing, because I actually started that with my Logical Weight Loss podcast. I started the Logical Losers Accountability Club. And I'm 4 months into that. And kind of like going every Monday, we do a phone call and we all kind of go, I lost weight, I didn't, and things like that. It's just one of those things where I can see where it's not as cool as I thought it was going to be. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's great to again, have that chance to meet live with your audience and to make that connection. But it's when you start kind of going, I got to go do the phone call. That's like, that's not a good sign. At this early stage in the game, I'm 4 months into it. I'm like, I didn't think about this.
You know, but I think I'd want to warn folks that just because your stomach grumbles doesn't necessarily mean you're hungry. And just because 1 week you don't feel like podcasting doesn't mean you've lost that love and feeling.
Right.
So, give it some time. And also give it maybe a long time. I mean, because you just might be going through a temporary phase where things aren't working right. Get some help. Call on some friends, have them join you for the podcast. Change up the format a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, mix it up. I've said before on my tech show, we've gone through 3 or 4 different formats. And for a while, I had a bunch of guest hosts that would join me. We had 3 or 4. We do a roundtable every week. And then those guys kind of got kind of worn out. They're like, man, I don't want to do it anymore. You know, what was totally exciting to them about a year ago, we're busy, Jim. We got things going on. Yeah. And I just even sent out a note early this week to that group. There's about 18 of them that I have on. And I say, hey, you want to join me? Just come on, Roundtable Tech. We can just, I just love doing it. I got nothing, man. It was crickets. That group, it's like, So, I moved to a more interview style. And so I've been collecting individuals that I find interesting and rotating them, once a quarter or twice a year through the show. That's a way of doing, we've done topics, where I've picked a topic and try to get people to join me based on the topic. So if it's getting boring or you've lost it, change up the format, but don't just that week quit, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's like, give it some time.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that, another person I'm talking to later on today is Ken Blanchard. He's been on this show before, and he's been doing, I forget the name of his show. I think it's just called Black Man with a Gun. And he's been doing that for a long time. He's had all sorts of different formats and apparently now has a new love of motorcycles. So he's going to do a show about motorcycles, right? We've been there. We're like, oh, this is cool. This would be a great podcast. And then he went to a gun show, and he actually has a book out now, and he got to meet some people at a book signing and things like that. Things are going, it looks really good over there. And so it's funny because the week before he went to the book signing, he was like, man, what do you think? And that's actually where I said, maybe we should talk about pod fading. He was like, I'm just not feeling it like I did. And so he actually got to go somewhere where he met more or less his audience and got to, reconnect with those people firsthand. And he came back and said, you know what? That's what I needed. He goes, just that interaction. And I think a lot of times that's what keeps people going, is when you get a comment on your blog or you get an email or you get somebody to interact with you, then it's like, it's not like, hello, is this thing on? Hello, is anybody listening? Kind of thing.
Well, John Parker makes a great point. I never thought of it this way. And we podcast in the context of a weekly show, right? That's what you and I do. And we think in those terms. That's the framework by which we think about things. But if you went more of a TV model and you went by seasons and your podcast was evergreen content, you could, in a 6-month period, say, hey, I'm going to put out 13 podcasts during this season. You could sit down over the course of 2 months, crank all of them out, then produce them and release them on and advertise really well for them too, on like it on a schedule, right? And give and really draw people over for new content that's coming out. I mean, that's a great idea. I think if you're doing weekly and you're getting burned out, that might be an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm gonna move to a more season schedule, or I'm gonna do it once a month. I do a podcast called Cyber Frontiers with a buddy of mine that's going to the University of Maryland. We say never on a schedule, but always new information or something like that. I forget the second part of it, but we never podcast on a schedule. It's just whenever he's available, we sit down, we record it, we drop it into the feed. And I'm sure that'll hurt maybe not some numbers, but we don't have a schedule. So that you can do that too.
Yeah. Ron asked a question. I was wondering if Dave heard Cliff on Podcast Answer Man. It was a good episode, but 2 hours long. Is that his latest episode? What was it on? My quick answer is probably no. I don't remember that. And for me, it would only be most podcasts I listen to at XX. I switched from Stitcher back to podcast app just to play with it some more and see what's up and new with that. But no, I've not heard that. So let me know why was it a good episode? That's a great question right there. That is always a good one. Why was it good to you?
I know, and it's different for everybody. You know, I've done some doozies where you're like, ooh, can I just forget about that last hour? And then somebody will say, oh, you know, you'll get a note back. That was the best, you know, and
that's it. Always fun when I have people that are like, that was awesome. And I'm like, really? Because I was put it out and kind of went, yeah, okay.
You know, like, yeah, it was kind of terrible. You know, I this week live, when we were live on Thursday, I threw that question out to the audience. There's, I get about 10 or so live. Same guys join me every week. The real faithfuls. You know, they're out there all the time. They know me. They've been listening to me for 3 years now. And I said, you know what? Why do you guys keep coming back? You know, I was doing a little soul searching on my podcast.
What are you like, here for?
Why are you here? And they were, the answers are surprising and not, they're surprising and not surprising. And they're encouraging too. They're, you know, if they're there week over week, there's obviously you've made a connection with them. And so we have great community in our podcast. And so that's why they come out. They know they like chatting with each other in the chat room. They know when they come in, it's like this podcast. It's like what we are developing right now on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. Dave, as I look at the list of folks out there, it's the same people every week, and they chat with each other and they're getting to know each other, and it creates community.
That's interesting. Ron in the chat room says that Cliff Show was called Why You Shouldn't Start a Podcast, basically, which is interesting because my next article in Podtertainment Magazine is all the ways you benefit from podcasting that have nothing to do with money, because it seems to be everybody's business oriented. And I heard John Lee Dumas, because it wouldn't be Saturday morning if we didn't say John Lee Dumas at least once during the hour, on the Duct Tape Marketing, and he is charging $2,000 for 80 minutes of consulting. And I did the math on that. That's $1,500 an hour. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I say that because when this show is over, today at 12 noon, 9 p.m. Pacific time, the one, the only John Lee Dumas will be on the new media show with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee. I'm not sure where that's at. I went to newmediashow.com. I know that's their website because it's part of Geek News Central. I don't know where the live stream is, but I know they do live stream it somewhere. So I'll have to check that out today. But that should be interesting because Todd has not been bashful in his skepticism of Mr. Dumas's. Is it Dumas or Dumas?
I think it's Dumas.
That's what I thought. And that's what I've been saying. I heard Jason Parsons called it. See, it's funny because if you're not careful, you'll say dumbass, and that's not right.
It's like that commercial. Yeah. Mr. it's Dumas. So, I like that commercial.
Hey, let's play with the phone. If you have a question, free to call in at 845-262-2401.
Love to have your call.
and I would love to have you call again. We're talking kind of pod fading. We're talking all sorts of things, and we would love to talk about you, with you, to you, however you want to call in. That would be great to have. And
I am a little, Dave, when we talk about this, I'm a little concerned about this religious podcasting movement that we've, and I don't mean like people podcasting about religion.
Okay.
I mean, making the idea of podcasting like a religious movement. You know, we've often said a lot of times, you know, you got to have the right motivations and you got to, you got to do it for you. And those are all good reasons, right? Because you do it because you love to do it. You do it because it's something you feel like you're being called to do and all those things. I do want to emphasize at the end of the day, if you want to do it for whatever reasons you want to do it for, there's nobody stopping you from doing that. If you think you can be successful in doing it the way, I mean, I'd love to see this current model that we have for podcasting is getting a little long in the tooth. And I'd love to see some innovators come along and shake it up a little bit to see what comes out. I mean, the idea of a 60-minute or 45-minute podcast that's on a weekly basis, and yeah, we've got other people doing it daily, but that's a slight variation of the same model that we've been going with. I'd love to see some millennials or some real thinkers come along and shake up the podcast industry, the podcast area, with some new forms. I think we're ripe for some innovation in podcasting, and so it'd be interesting to see what comes out. It's getting a little stale, and the big guys. You know, the big guys have risen to the top and they've pulled it up with them as they've done that. So that's been good. But I think we're ripe for something new.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because we've kind of had the progression of podcasting has been the early adopters were all the geeks, right? So you had this big swell in the tech.
Very passionate.
And then Mark Maron issued in the, the comedy era with Ricky Gervais and Adam Carolla. And, you know, I thought with Welcome to Nightville, we might see a bunch of people come in with kind of a storytelling kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes in next.
Well, but anytime you get, you know, Mike Phillips he talks a lot about snake oil. Anytime you get a medium that starts to do well, I mean, think about email. When email first started, you know, it was like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread and peanut butter. You know, you can send stuff and then pretty soon the people found out how to do email marketing and all that other stuff. Yeah. And then pretty soon they were selling all this crap. That is a natural state of the way things go, right? In an open economy, that's just the way it's going to be. And you're going to have to deal with that, with those kind of folks out there. I think the market, ferrets those people out. I think it naturally cleans itself out after a while. And you're always going to have, there's always a new, lately I've been listening to AM radio. Don't ask me why. sports talk radio for whatever reason. I've been listening to a little sports talk radio and on the, I'm hearing now house flipping is back. And so, hey, do you want to learn how to make money on house flipping? Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think we have to be careful.
Yeah. You never know what's going to come back in style. Hey, we actually have a caller.
Awesome.
So I'll click on the talk button and grab my volume knob and we'll see what happens. So I click talk. There we go. Ending in 7648. You're on the internet with Jim and Dave. What's your name and what's your question?
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Dave. It's Ryan. How are you today?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well.
Let's do the big test. Now, Jim, you say something.
Ryan, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Yay! Okay, excellent.
So it's working just fine.
There you go. All that prep was actually worth something. I just have to make a mental note.
For the next minute and a half.
So what's going on, my friend? What's
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with pod fading, because I know you're going to cover that on your show. But I noticed this week, and I'm not a huge stats guy, and I don't go in and check stats very often, but I did look at them the other day, and I noticed on a show that I actually have podfated over probably 8 months ago, all of a sudden on April 24th, there was a spike in downloads to like 300. And the norm is like, you know, maybe 5 or 10 a day now that I haven't been doing the show for 8 months. All of a sudden, boom, there was 300 on April 24th. And I'm not sure if anybody knows, you know, maybe some reasons why that would have happened.
What was the show about?
I don't know in particular. I didn't go in and look at the episodes to see which ones were picked. It was just happened to be a specific day, and I haven't recorded that show in, like I said, 6 or 8 months.
One of the things you can do is if you go to Google, let me do this now live.
Ryan, do you have Google Analytics set on that at all?
I think I do, yeah.
I believe it's links colon and then your website. If you put that into a Google search, yes, it looks like it will show you who is linking to your show.
So say that again, Dave.
It's links colon and I have a space and then my website. That can't be because it's saying I have 91,000 results. There's no way 91,000 people are linking to my website.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's something like that. It's like links colon and then maybe I have to put the HTTP colon into it. Maybe there's no space.
If you do use Google Analytics, you know, on the third section, in the acquisition section, there's an all traffic tab. And you can go in there and limit it just by the last couple days and check take a look at the source traffic that's coming in. And oftentimes that's where I find I might have one I got linked to by somebody and it, for whatever reason, it's maybe a stumble upon or it's a Reddit link or one of those kinds of things. And it gets in a thread that gets real popular. And then all of a sudden, yeah, people just start clicking on it.
You know,
you said that's in the third.
Yeah, it's in the third. Well, you've got real time audience and acquisition. And then under acquisition, look at all traffic. You can look at – there's a referrals right below it too. And the referrals will give you a little bit of a cleaner look at who's coming in. And then up in the upper – we're getting real nerdy here. But in the upper right-hand corner is your date range. And so you can limit that date range to maybe the last week or something. It defaults to 30 days, but you can bring that down. So I can see like on my stats, my number one referrer is the shortened Twitter account. I get quite a bit of traffic from anybody who posts my thing in Twitter. So I could see that would be my number one. And if that was spiking, I might get some idea. You can also see in there, which is really cool, Dave, you talked about this before. You can also see the average session duration in those stats. And so you might do some analytics around which source gives you the most engaged traffic. So as an example, my Twitter account, when they come from Twitter, I get about 2 hours, or I'm sorry, 2 hours. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? It was 2 hours. 2 minutes, 55 seconds worth of traffic. But when they come from Google Leads on DoubleClick, they're only 46 seconds. So I'm not getting as much engagement when they're coming in that way. Does that make sense, Ryan?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I have the Google Analytics set up, and so I did it for the date range of the week of, and absolutely says zero traffic whatsoever.
So they're downloading. They're not necessarily coming to the site. They're just downloading it. Something got kicked off on an RSS feed, maybe?
Maybe, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe got scraped or something. And
all of the episodes seem to be up in April, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I just thought maybe it was some weird, you know, phenomena that...
Nothing we've heard of.
Maybe. Yeah. That was really strange because literally, like, for the month prior and up until today, up until the 24th, the average download is, you know, in the 20s or, you know, 15s, right around there. And then all of a sudden, April 24th, 320 downloads. So I was just wondering if maybe there was some good explanation that we could discover.
Karma.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, that was my question. That was all I have for the day.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, guys. You have a wonderful one. All right. Take care.
You too. Yeah, I found out I've been doing a lot of – well, first of all, since we're at the halfway point, I should point out today – you ready for this? I found something that I'm going to treat as a sponsor. If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/myspeed, this is like the coolest thing since sliced bread. It is a – program, you can download a free trial for 7 days that will speed up pretty much any video on the internet. So I've been watching YouTube videos on Google Analytics. It's funny that you guys should talk about that. And you can bump that bad boy up to 3x, and just zip through stuff. And the beauty of it, again, you can try it for 7 days free. If you want to buy it, it's only $29. And already, this is the thing I really love about it. It shows you how much time you've saved by using that program. So if you want to check it out, go to askthepodcastcoach.com/myspeed and check it out. And if you purchase that, a small percentage of the I get a finder's fee. So
very nice.
There you go.
Matt Cutts from Google might be nice to listen to it three times. He's a good talker, but twice but, might speed things up a little bit.
But I last week in my school of podcasting, I mentioned bounce rate, and there's a different things between bounce rate and time on your page. And from what I understand, a bounce rate is when somebody comes to your page once, like one page, and then they leave. And that sounds horrible, but I looked at my equipment page on the School of Podcasting has an incredibly high bounce rate. But on the other hand, the time on that page is really, really long. So it's kind of one of those you go, well, is it bad because somebody's coming here and then they leave? Or is it they're coming here looking for equipment? It appears that they found what they're looking for because they're on the page like, you know, 7-8 minutes and then they leave. And I'm like, well, maybe I need to put a newsletter sign up there or something there. But it's pretty much that page is all about gear. And I thought maybe that's not such a bad thing.
They could be. Okay, so sometimes if your page takes too long to load, they won't close the tab. They'll just open a new one and go somewhere else, right?
That's true too.
If you don't engage them in 4 or 5 seconds,
yeah,
which is just crazy, right? That it's that we have that short of an attention span. So it loads in the background and it just stays up. Now, the bounce rate's high because they never interact with that page, right? Google defines the bounce rate as the percentage of single page visits, as an example, visits in which the person left your site from the entrance page without interacting with the page. So if they just come and do nothing, they consider that a bounce. If they come and click on something, right, the ad or a link or a player or whatever, then that's the bounce rate. If your site is slow to load, and I've got to thank Christian Johnson for this. Christian's kind of my web guy at theaverageguy.tv. We were having my bounce rate was in 60-70%, right? When I was on some old servers. I shouldn't say old, okay, but another service. He got tired of that and he moved that in house and set up his own web farm, and he's using Verizon Fios and he's got a great connection. And Dave, I watched my bounce rate go from 60 to 4% because instantaneous, when people come to my site, boom, it loads, right? It does make a difference. So if you're on a cheap host provider and your speed is slow, I'm not saying that's you, from a bounce rate perspective, speed does matter. You want your site to be as responsive as possible. So if you're going to use a GoDaddy or even a Bluehost and you're paying for the cheapest hosting possible, you're on a shared provider, chances are you're not getting the best possible speed you can. You have two options. One, spend more money and get better service. Two, make your website as efficient as possible so that it's better that they hit and see something than they hit and see a bunch of stuff. And oftentimes all those things, all those nice little graphics, right? All those things we didn't optimize, all that JavaScript that's on the page that's running your affiliate links and all that stuff, it's got to load all that stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes we load up our sites with too much unoptimized stuff. There are, Mike Howard spent a lot of time optimizing his site over at jpegtoraw.com. And there's some tools over there. Mike, why don't you, if you're listening, throw that, because there's a site, and I can't remember the link right now, where you can go out and test the page speed of your site, and it'll give you a score, and then you can make some changes and rerun it again, and it will it'll continue to score it. And so I can't emphasize the importance of that. I know it's super nerdy, and sometimes we don't think about that a lot, but you do want people to hit the site and it to show up right away. Otherwise, they'll walk.
Yeah.
It also tripled my page views, by the way. When that came down, I was doing 2 times page views as users or visit. That's a new change at Google, but let's just say visitors. So I was getting about 4,000 visitors a month, and I was getting about 8,000 page views. Triple is the wrong word to use. When I made that change, those same 4,000 users now are doing 12,000 page views. So I got a third more of page views just because my bounce rate went down, right? So it's increasing the engagement. They're seeing more material. They're clicking on things. It's a net. You would think it's true. If the bounce rate goes down, that means they're clicking on something. And so they're going to see more of your material. So it's one of those kinds of things. We could see a direct correlation between bounce rate and page views.
There you go. And Micah says he's looking for it. So he will take a peek at that.
Yeah, he says he's dropped his bounce rate 51. He and I have been talking a lot about this, and this is why. So 51 to 17. By the way, let me just say this. If you don't have a podcasting accountability partner, that's the next thing you should do. You should find a friend that you don't have to be even be in the same space. Mike does photography. I do tech, right? But Mike and I once a week or so get together and we just say, hey, what's your Amazon numbers? Sorry to bring up a bad.
I'm back in the fold.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Good. Hey, what's your Amazon numbers? What are you getting on Spreaker? And we compare, right? And what are you doing? What have you done to, you know, hey, I was thinking about this week. And we bounce those things off each other. And so while you have this show, Ask the Podcast Coach on Saturday to do those kinds of things, it's always good to have a one-on-one accountability podcast partner. I'd say that's the number one advice I'd give anybody. Don't do it alone. Have a friend help you out.
Mike says the page is webpagetest.org, plus the Google Speed site is another good one. But yeah, having just anybody to have a soundboard. I know I was pondering putting together a mastermind. I actually bought a book on running a mastermind, and it's probably something I may do someday. But really, in a nutshell, this is my mastermind at this point. We all get together and just talk about podcasting. And it is good to have somebody, because there are other times, like you said, somebody might think, I'm going to pod fade because this week I just don't want to do it. And if you can get somebody on Skype or on the phone or whatever it is and have that person talk you off the ledge a little bit, sometimes that's really helpful. Or, yeah. I mean, yeah. For me, I get so much stuff just from my audience that I'm like, man, this is just, I found a, I can't, it's so cool, I can't talk about it. I found a theme that I want to use on the School of Podcasting that's kind of in development that's specifically designed for people that run courses. I mean, it's like tailor-made. I was like, oh, wow, cool. But it's not quite ready for prime time yet. But that came in from one of my listeners, one of my friends. And so it's always cool to, you know, just have somebody that's kind of in the same area that you, like you said, you're in tech and he's in photography, but you're both in podcasting.
We are.
So you can come together on what you have in common and what you don't. You just kind of go, can you take my picture? Because I don't, my camera stinks.
It's just one of those things. You grow together. You know, he'll all try something new and share it with him. And then pretty soon the next week he's got that piece of equipment, or he'll be doing something. I'm like, how did you do that? And he'll share it with me. And then I'm doing a chat wing was one of those examples. I was looking for a new. We used live stream chat for a while, and it just was not working on mobile devices. And you know what? You got to work in the mobile space. And so the two of us have spent a whole bunch of time making sure our podcasts work everywhere mobile, and Chatwing was part of that experiment. Of course, we use Mixlr for this show. That works too, right? You can get to it on – I've used the chat here in Mixlr on my phone. It's been on about, proven a couple weeks ago. But he and I constantly are talking about, you know, what we're doing and it's non-threatening, right? I don't know about you, Dave, but I am not good with taking advice in forums. I just suck at that. For whatever reason, I get frustrated, or I feel like I'm being talked down to or whatever. And I'm just not great in forums. So that's not a great way for me to get feedback. I'm much better one-on-one. You know, I spend some time with you. I spend some time with Mike Howard. I'm getting to know Ryan Parker a little bit through this as well. And I'm much better in those one-on-one conversations than I am in these open forum environments, you know. And so I just think if you're out there alone and you're struggling a little bit, even if you're not, it might be a great idea to track somebody down and say, hey, can we just talk about this? You don't have to make it. Mike and I never decided, like, we're going to make a mastermind. We didn't do that. We just did it. We didn't talk. We didn't use those terms. We just started getting together and touching base with each other.
Yeah, because that could be something that, especially if you keep it small, then it
Jeff Bundy says we're making podcasting sound like an addiction. It is an addiction.
It is an addiction. Absolutely. My,
I'm Jim.
Yeah, I'm Jim. Hi, I'm Dave. I'm a podcaster.
Hi, Dave.
But my wife has said that on occasion. She'll say, you know, nothing gives you the rush in your life like podcasting. And I'm like, and your point is what?
Yes, it is. It is for sure.
We were talking about that last night. I said, for me, it's creative because you're creating art to a certain extent. It's technical, so I get to get my geek on, and then I get to get my teach on. So it's like, and I don't have to put up with drunks. I don't have to put up with lugging equipment around. I don't have to go home smelling like a bar. I'm like, this is so much better than music in some cases.
Or just drinking.
Right. I don't wake up hungover, you know.
I know. I'm home. Yes, I'm up late, but I'm home up late. You can always get access to me. It's not like I'm out, you know, it's not out 5 nights a week.
I just need one more comment, man. If I could just get one more comment.
If I could get one more listener.
Yeah.
Speaking of one more listener, let's flip over a little bit to a topic you kind of skirted last week, effectively, and I forget who called in. I forget the name. I apologize for that. Was it Ron? Okay, so Ron called in. I'm sorry, I'm terrible. I can't even remember my own name sometimes.
It's because it's DJ City from the Japan Experience podcast.
Whoa.
Me and Ron we go way back.
Okay, sweet. Well, very good. Well, Ron called in and said, Dave, what did you think, or why didn't you start your own network? Right. And we've been doing podcasting long enough that there's a couple different ways. You know, you start a podcast and then several people start to gather together networks. Now, Dave, in most circles, these networks are a conglomeration of podcasters with an S, right? Different guys doing multiple podcasts. You have successfully done 17?
I would have to look. Yeah, I think I've done 17 different podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the number. And so the question is, why not a podcast, or why not a network? And I think you kind of said, hey, it's just another thing to do, but why not start a network in the sense that, you know, I've got a little network going and I'm actually a part of another network, doing it. And those, you know, it's a way to pull podcasts together, you know, to get, it's that cross promotion, right? It's a cross promotion opportunity. And I think, you know, you cross promote a lot in your own podcast. I shouldn't say a lot. I mean, that sounded bad. You cross promote in your own podcast. That's what you do. So from a network standpoint, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Daniel's doing noodle.mx and his work, and he seems to be having some good success with it. Let's dive a little bit more in on that, more than just I don't have time. Any other thoughts on a network from your standpoint and why you wouldn't
really
do a network?
One of the things that I thought about that over the week, I can't come up with a name. Mm. It's like, what would, in, you know, Jackson Media Group, do I want it to be about my name? Is it about me? Is it about, you know, edutainment cast? How do you spell that?
It's a lot of work to create it.
Yeah, right now, literally my biggest stumbling block, because I thought about this week, is like, what would I call it? And I was just like, And it's like I said, I was so bummed that I let the Domain Cooler podcast go.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? I would have done that. Would have been homage to my very first podcast, you know. Coolers, okay, you know. So right now it's like, if I can come up with a name, I probably would. Because that way, if somebody said, do you do any other shows? I could go, yes, go to blah, blah, blah here, and there's everything I do.
I'm not sure personal networks make as much sense. And I think they do make some sense. It's if you could come up with a logical way to bring, hey, there you go. Logical podcasts.
Yeah.
Check it out. Right. If you could find a logical way to pull all your podcasts together and put them in a central hub, that one place for folks to go to find all your podcasts, I think that's beneficial. From a cross pollination standpoint, I think if you're going to join a network with other podcasters, I think then you really go beyond, because you're only capable of reaching so many people. If you have other podcasters who have other circles and you're cross pollinating, I think that's a pretty effective way to do some advertising.
I could, in theory, I mean, I own the website podcastsaboutpodcasting.com, which has a list of all the podcasts about podcasting and those that have pod faded and things like that. You know, in theory, I could contact Daniel and Ray and Cliff and the guy that does Podcast Dojo, Brian, and Mike Dell, who does Podcast Help Desk, and Jason from Podcast 101. you know, we could have our own network about podcasts about podcasting. And I'm sure there are other ones. There's a guy from Scotland now that I'm listening to, which is just so cool.
I don't think that's the effective use of a network, right? That all the same pod, you don't want all the same podcasts on the network. You want a variety. You want to create that variety of podcasts. So you would have, and again, you've done this on your own. You've got one about weight loss. You had one about, you know, of course you get your podcast, but you get the podcast review show. You got some of those other ones that are out there. You got the Feeding My Faith. So I think that makes more sense, is to create those networks of diverse programs, right? To so that somebody could come and say, oh yeah, I was listening to this guy. Oh yeah, well, now I want to listen to this podcast.
Well, the other thing you have to think about is, like, I know Todd at Geek News Central, he has his network of all the shows in one place, but he then also has every show has its own domain name. So there's the individual site, I guess, for SEO, yes, and then you have a network, which is basically what I would end up doing. I have my own sites because I know for a while that was the question was, do I go WordPress multi-site or do I do individual sites? And that's a whole other bag of worms that I was just like, I'd probably just do another single site and, you know, have individual sites for everything. But then basically have, you know, just repost the episodes and say for full show notes, go here, things like that. But
hey, logicalpodcasts.com is available, Dave. Just saying. You better snatch that.
I'm going to say.
It's just $15. Ryan Parker asked, you know, what's the benefits of a network? And I really do think the main benefit is cross-pollinization. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a single site with where the summaries or information about them are listed, and it would have its own SEO. You have to be careful not to repeat a lot of the content that you're doing. But it is a place you can drive people. I think, you know, the one I'm a part of called the Geeks Network. And that's something really easy to remember. And for guys who are like, you know, we mentioned that on the show and somebody like, oh, I like your show. Maybe there's another, I'm looking for another podcast to listen to. So I'll go to the Geeks Network and see what's available over there.
Yeah, because I think most of the ones that I listen to that are on a network, there's usually something in the podcast, either at the beginning or the end, where they say, this podcast is part of the, you know, network. For more information, and then for fun, entertaining, educational, blah, 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 see blah, 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 .com. So it's just a little plug. It's not usually – I did listen to – was somebody on the podcast review show, Monkey Radio. They had a minute, almost 2-minute clip at the end about the network they were on. And it was almost – the problem was they did a – their call to action was like an hour ago. And now here comes a, you know, here's the network stuff, more network. And where I'm like, okay, look, I'm done with the show. Can I go to the next episode?
Yeah.
And that's the only time I've ever heard that I was like, wow, if I was on that network, I would go to those guys and go, can you like cut that down to like 15 seconds? And
you tone down your network.
Yeah.
Ryan Parker was actually asking what's technically involved in creating a network. I don't think creating a network's any different than creating a podcast. You're just creating a central, so a site, you know, that has the aggregated information, and you decide the best way you're going to post those. And then in like you said, you could choose to either blend that in using WordPress, blend that in with your own kind of CMS, or create a completely separate site that gets updated differently. Whenever a new podcast comes out, it would be either the podcaster's responsibility or the network owner's responsibility to go to that site and put a summary post out there that says, for an example, I would find a theme where, like right now I'm using a theme where I can put multiple categories on the front page. And so it's like a newspaper, right? It's got, I might have a home tech or home gadget geeks here, and I might have a school of podcasting here, and then it's going to put two or three posts, and below that it's going to say home server show and some other things that I do. I can get those all on a single page. And so it's really advantageous because you can see everything in one shot. And those would be summary posts with links over to the actual post on that individual site. The other advantage to that, setting it up that way, Dave, is if you're linking back, so you have a separate site linking back to your original post, that's good for Google.
Right.
They like that. Anytime you have links, right, that creates that value. So it's another way of creating some value of some links back to your site.
Yeah, Angela has a great point. If you are the brand, which in many cases I kind of am, I could actually take davidjackson.org, which is kind of my blog, It ranks pretty good for podcasting stuff and Google. And I could just, you know, at the end, if you can't get enough Dave, go over to Dave Jackson, Dave, I think it's davidjackson.org, and see all my shows there. But then Paperback Rocker, love the name. I want to sing now. If it's all the same person show, is it really a network? Hey, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
Yes.
Maybe.
You know, the question comes in not should or shouldn't you do it, but why would you be doing it? So if there's a strategic advantage for your situation for you to do it, if you do it in a way that adds value to what you're doing, then do it. If you don't, well, don't. I mean, it's not one of the things you have to do or you should do or what have you. It's just another way in my case, with the Geeks Network, it's a couple guys that I hang out with anyways, and it makes kind of sense to pull all our podcasts. And then we can advertise the geeksnetwork.com as opposed to advertising our own individual sites and get maybe a little more traction on a site that maybe makes a little more sense or is easy to remember.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are the details of that? So you're part of this network. What do you guys do?
Yeah, so we have an agreement. We have a podcaster's agreement that we've put together, and actually Dave's done all the legwork for this, that just really says you have to post one network link on a post. You need to say that you're at least a 15-second as part of the Geeks Network, so to speak, in your podcast, and then have appropriate content. I mean, it's a pretty simple agreement. Once you join the network, then he's created this site aggregation where we'll begin to post our, you know, things that are going on. And the goal would be, right, if we're all promoting it and driving people to it, we'll all benefit from, if we get diverse groups, we'll all benefit from those the cross-pollinization of those groups. So we have come up, Dave did come up with an agreement. He just ran that by me the other day to say, hey, what do you think about this? And I think that's good to have in advance, you know, kind of deal. There's a few things that you might want to have spelled out in advance. The other thing we agreed on is that there's no advertising on the networking site. So that, right, because some guys are like, hey, I'll create the network, and then why don't you take your podcast and put it on my network? And then there's advertising there. And the whole goal is to drive, to drive traffic to that networked site for. You know what? That doesn't work if one guy's getting the money, right? Everybody kind of goes, oh.
It's called Mevio.
Exactly. It ruins the motivation, right? You have to have, I think, in order to make this a successful network, so to speak, you have to have equal motivations for everybody. And so he agreed that on the networked site, there would be no advertising.
Well, just for giggles, what's the website? I've never seen this.
The Geeks Network. Oh, it's not very good right now. TheGeeksNetwork.com, I think, is what.
TheGeeksNetwork.com.
Yeah. And so it's just a page. Right now, you can kind of see the layout of the four. We have four shows in our network, that including my, and we need to update this.
Today,
if you click on them, they go nowhere.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
But it's super simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And ideally that would be, come here and here's some, I think what we'll do is work on this page to put some,
content,
a synopsis of the show. Yeah. That might help. Synopsis of the show. And then you can click through. It's a click through at that point.
Got it. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah,
so just a thought. It was one of those things I think that deserved a little more than the 2 minutes we gave it last week to.
Well, I had one other question. What determines who's on, like, is it like the NFL? You get to determine who the owners are.
There is a little bit of a committee in quotes that kind of determines, you know, there's an application process to be a part of the network. And the goal is to really try and get like-minded or people together to do these kinds of things. So
interesting.
Well, right now it's just two of us. But there's some opportunities to add some additional podcasts to it. And the goal would be, you know, some podcasters who have grown and maybe plateaued and they've got great podcasts to say, hey, why don't you come over, put your link on our network. All we ask is that you promote the network address, and that benefits everybody. You know, it doesn't cost anything to get into the network. I'm not paying anything. We're not charging anything for this, but it does kind of create, because you know how it is. We get wrapped into our circles.
That's right.
Even you and I have our own circles right here. And whenever you talk about other podcasters who podcast about podcasting, you immediately say Daniel and Ray and Dave. The three of you have created this mega circle, right? But you're not
mega circle.
You're not. I love that. You're not the only podcasters podcasting about podcasting.
No,
there's tons of other ones out there, and they have other listeners.
There's a guy doing Pod School, I think it is. He's from Scotland, and I love his show because he's talking about hosting and everything else that I talk about. It's a fine show. I'm not learning anything from it, but I just listen because it's like Shrek is telling me how to podcast. It's awesome. I love accents. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay. So we should also mention we're starting to wind down here. If you have a question, now would be the time to call 845-262-2401. And, I'll have to think about that. If I come up with a name, you know, I'm sure the clouds will part and the angels will sing and be like, that's it.
Yeah. I'm not sure a network benefits you that much. Now, I mean, it would be cool to have it all in one place.
Yeah. It would just be like, hey, if you want more of me, here's where you can find it.
Yeah.
And I could easily do that. I kind of have that at davidjackson.org. If I remember, I'd have players for all of my, and I've just been putting just odd stuff up there now. Like right now, Ask the Podcast Coach from last week is up there. And there's a newsletter sign up, and there's a link to my book, and links to Libsyn. Yeah, all the podcasting stuff's at the bottom of the page. Good move, Dave. This page needs work. Wow, this page needs a lot of work.
So that's the drawback to some of these. If you start to spread yourself too thin, you end up getting properties that never get any attention.
Yeah, we actually just did a podcast review show that's coming out Monday, and there is a thing. This was a podcast. When we reviewed them, they were on episode number 2, which was really interesting because they're like, well, we want to know what we're doing wrong right now as opposed to, you know, episode 36. And they had set up a forum and groups on their website using some sort of WordPress plugin or something like that. And when you went there, there was, as you might imagine, nothing because they just started out. And I said, the bad news is it's not a really great first impression. When you go there and you're like, oh, let's go to the forums. And you're like, oh, wow, there's not a single comment here. It's just a ghost town.
Right.
And I said the typical progression is, you know, comments on a blog when your site gets big enough, then maybe go to a forum. And I said, I love forums. I love them to death. I would love to have my own forum. But my audience said, I want a Facebook thing. And I've done both. And Facebook, because everybody's already there, you get a lot more interaction on that. So that's And forums are a lot of work. That's the other thing I've.
Oh, they are. They are. No, it's.
If you want people to comment on them and be interactive and things like that.
One of the thoughts I've had, you know, we are launching. I have three podcasts now that I do at work, and the first two are that have a similar theme, and so we kind of have them on their own site. And the third one is definitely, you know, the first two are about our Strengths Finder. The third one is about our management stuff. Mm-hmm. And, but I felt like when we launched the third one, if I did what, you know, if I created all its own property to begin with, we would be starting from scratch, right? It would be like, and I've done this with Cyber Frontiers too, another podcast that I have, that when I started, I felt like if I created all its own property to begin with, it would go out into space like a brand new podcast does. And that's not bad. I mean, when you start podcasting, you have to create your first podcast, right? You have to start speaking into empty space to start with. Everybody does it. But if you already have properties that are out there, if you're already, you've already gathered an audience, there is no sense in not using that or pitching those podcasts to that other audience. And so one of the things I've done twice now is to roll in new podcasts in the feed of established podcasts for 3 to 5 podcasts. So to say, and I warn the audience, right? Hey, I'm going to be dropping this. I want you to listen to this. If you don't like it, it's only going to be 3 to 5. So it's not going to be here forever. You don't even have to listen to it, but it is going to drop in the feed. You're going to see an extra podcast because I want to advertise it for you. You know, you might want to listen to this too, or you might want to recommend it. And so we are now with the new one that I'm doing at work. That's what we're doing right now. We just produced we're going to produce the second one on Tuesday. 3 weeks from now, we'll do the third one. So then I'll have three shows, so to speak, of three properties. By the time we launch the site, there'll already be content there, right? I'm not having to kind of like, hey, come to my site and there's one post. You know, right. At least there'll be three posts that look like, oh, they've been doing this for a while. So that might be something you want to think about if you're going to launch a second podcast. Don't feel like you got to do that in a completely separate environment to start with. My recommendation, it's worked well for me. Blend that in with some of the current ones that you have in the feed. Put some highlights. Do what you think is appropriate, but certainly take advantage of the audience you've already gathered around. And then, but respect your audience. Don't leave it in that feed forever. Eventually kick it out and give it its own feed. But that will allow you to prime the pump, so to speak. That will allow you to kind of work it over time and get an audience, because you might find a subset of that audience that wants to listen to that content, and then they'll move their way over or add that to their podcatcher or what have you. So it's a good way. That's worked. I've done that twice now, and it's worked pretty well both times.
Very cool. I like that idea. So just kind of introduce it to your audience.
Yeah, feed it in, add it to that feed, and make it a separate. I'm very clear. I mean, I'm very clear with us, you guys. We're going to be doing this. If you're a regular listener, this is what we're doing. They'll be here, and then those shows will go out on a separate feed as well. They'll be someplace in the world twice, but it's only 3 to 5. So that's not a big deal.
Right. That's one nice thing. In fact, we'll probably talk about that next week. I am sniffing the idea of putting out yet another podcast about podcasting, but 5 minutes or less.
Yeah.
For the person that doesn't want to listen to Dave talk to an hour.
A tip show.
I'm mm-hmm. thinking about that a lot. And I'm like, I think I might do it much like this show, just as an experiment, just to see what happens. And so if somebody goes, should I do a long show or a short show? I go, well, here's what I did and here's what my results were.
It's work. It's additional work.
It's it.
And the shorter the clip, the harder it is.
It is.
You're really trying to condense that down. You got to listen for those things. But yeah.
So if I do it, I'm going to have about 40 in the can before I even launch it.
So, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, but hey, that's gonna do it for this week as he fades up the music here. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room, and we are here every Saturday, schoolofpodcasting.com/live, or if you go to Ask the Podcast Coach, there's a link there. We're doing the video thing now, we're doing the call-in thing, and I appreciate everybody's patience at the beginning of the show. That's always said. And as always, thanks to Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Don't forget, if you want to check out that cool software, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/myspeed and start speeding up your videos today. And we'll see you again next week with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.